Welcome back to another episode of Girl Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Suguru, and today's topic is on overcoming heartbreak and moving on. Welcome back. I'm so excited to be podcasting again. Today I have my good friend Nikki, who is a mindset coach, and she is incredible at what she does. I'll let her introduce herself in just a moment, but today I wanted to just give you guys an overview of what today's episode is going to be about, what you're going to get from it. So I'm going to make this for both sexes, so both male and female, because ever since I made my breakup public and told people on my Instagram that me and my ex weren't together anymore, it was a 7-year relationship for anybody that doesn't follow me on Instagram. So obviously it's a big adjustment, and so I had a lot of people asking me, and I still to this day just get DMs over and over again about, from people that are struggling and don't know how to move on, or just don't understand what to do. So I wanted to make a full episode on it, maybe even two, just depends on how this goes, to help both guys and girls understand and move on. And I think it's just a really important thing to discuss. I feel like it's hard to find information on this when you need it, because, or even find just someone that you can relate to, because people obviously have maybe they're not comfortable being vulnerable, especially if another person that they were intimate with is involved. I feel like a lot of people struggle to really just express their feelings. And so it's really, this podcast is just going to be totally honest. I don't really have any issues being direct and honest. And if there's vulnerability that has to come with that as well, I'm fine with it. I don't mind if my exes listen to this, because, I feel like it's going to help a lot of people. So, well, let's get Nikki to introduce herself now, and then we'll get straight into the episode. And, hopefully you guys will love it. Okay, so we have Nikki, my girlfriend, with us today, and I wanted you guys to get to know her a little bit better. So do you want to tell everyone what you do?
Yes, hi. So my name's Nikki. I am a mindset and life coach, and I own a company called Mind Health School. So we basically offer mental health and emotional health education for individuals and teams, and everything that we do is online. So basically, in normal language, I help people understand their emotions and their thoughts, and how that impacts them in their relationships, in their work, in their friendships, just in life in general.
Yeah, it's
loads
really
of fun.
Yeah, it's really good, because when we actually became friends, it was like the weirdest time in my life, and we literally like just clicked. I feel like out of nowhere. I feel like it's so weird.
We met in the gym.
Yeah, but then we, like, I meet a lot of people at the gym.
Yeah.
You know, and, but there's just a few people, like, I feel like I have, like, this really strong, instant connection with, and then we literally just became, like, best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, at the worst time in my life as well.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
There was a lot going on around that time.
Oh, my God, you, like, used to keep falling out of the sky and just, like, saving me. I was, like, crying on the street.
Yeah, that's a really funny story.
Yeah. So, long story short, Nikki, like, was there in the peak of my heartbreak, and
we met like on the weekend, didn't we? It was like the Saturday, we was training in the gym, and then it was like on a Tuesday night or something.
At like 10 p.m. or something.
Yeah, I was on the phone to my friend back home, so it would have been late, and we was walking down the street. I don't know, I'm pretty sure it was raining or something. It would have been.
Yeah, it would have been raining.
And I just saw you like walking over, like on the same side of the road, like walking towards me. And I could just see a blonde girl crying at first. I was like, oh my God. And then I realized it was you. There was like people, it's like out of a music video. There was like people like everywhere. And I just like grabbed you and like pulled you. Like it was so dramatic. And then I was like, what is wrong? And then you were like, and just crying. And it, and then I think that probably bonded us.
I feel like I bond in the weirdest conditions, but sometimes you have to be at your worst and find better things. I was emotionally out of control.
No, there's no such, like, you were going through a lot.
Yeah.
That was, it's so difficult to, like, have coping techniques and coping mechanisms when you're in that much pain. Like,
yeah,
it's hard.
I honestly didn't believe in heartbreak, even though, like, the breakup, my recent breakup was, like, my choice.
Mm.
So was my one before that, and the two were completely different. Mm. It was so interesting to see, like, how different they were, because, like, I always believed that if you don't want to be with somebody anymore, like, you just break up with them and you find someone new.
Mm.
And I did leave both my relationships, but this one was a very different feeling.
Mm.
I honestly felt, now that I'm, like, so far past, like, the actual heartbreak phase, and we were talking about this the other day, I wasn't crying or anything like that because of me, or because I had, like, lost, like, yeah, obviously I was sad, I lost a relationship and I had to, like, go through that, but remember, it was, like, because I just felt, like, I don't know, I was just worried about him,
mm.
and I just felt bad.
You had, like, a lot of, you were carrying a lot of his, like, emotional
yeah,
issues.
That was too. Why. So it was more, like, from a place of empathy and worry, and then when I finally got used to only looking after myself, I actually realized that, yeah, I made the right decision, and I didn't feel bad anymore. That was the thing. I just felt bad. Like, I just felt so bad, and I just... Yeah, even though every single sign in the world was just like, yeah, so for like 2 months of my heartbreak, like, I was just so, it wasn't like guilt or anything like that. I was just like, I just don't know if he's going to be okay, things like that. So I just cared, you know? Mm. So I think that was what it was.
Yeah.
And that's why I was unable to, like, control my emotions, I feel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now I know, and it's, like, yeah. Heartbreak's hard. Like, do you want to break down for everyone, like, what it actually is, though? Just because you're obviously a professional.
Yeah. I think just on what you said there, though, you know, we hear, like, I say this all the time, you can control your emotions.
Mm.
But when we're going through real life experiences, we're going through things that are happening, like, here and now.
Yeah.
Controlling your emotions isn't you know, you should feel them. It's you're not a robot, you're a human, and feeling that and understanding that and processing it, so you're healing from it, you know, there and then, as opposed to, you know, going getting drunk and having random sex with random people, or, like,
didn't happen.
These outlets that, like, people will try and go to,
mm-hmm.
that they'll think, okay, well, the answer's here, or, like, I'll feel better when I've done this, or, like, they're just trying to numb that feeling.
But yeah.
You know, it's easier said than done, and I get that, but when you're going through an event or an experience like that, controlling your emotion isn't where your focus should be.
Yeah, no. I definitely feel like that is probably, like, that. It's hard, though. I don't judge anyone, because that can't sit with their trauma, because those things are so traumatic.
It's,
like,
difficult, and you need the support. You need, like, whatever it is that you need, like, go and seek that, you know? If you need a coach, if you need a therapist, if you need your friends to be there, like, they're...
You need to tell them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, don't keep it in, because what, like... That we all have these, like, really dark thoughts and this, you know, this, like, really dark part of us that exists. We all have it, right? It's, like, the thoughts that we think that we would never say out loud, and the beliefs that we have, and when we think about the future and, like, regrets from the past, and we all have these parts of us that exist, but they will continue to eat you up and continue to show up in your emotions and in your thoughts and in your behavior.
Yeah.
But I say this quite often with my clients. When you give that voice an opportunity to speak, it runs out of things to say.
It does.
It can no longer control you.
You do so exhaust.
Being honest, like, being honest about how you really feel and communicating that, and, you know, whatever it is that you need to do in that time, but really just staying true to yourself.
Yeah, it's important. Because, like, that is the thing, like, I feel like that was one of the hardest but the best parts of my healing. Like, I feel like I really let it run its course. Until I came to a conclusion that really made sense to me, because sometimes, you know, your emotions and your thoughts will fool you. Like, I feel like I'd never experienced anxiety before. I wasn't, it wasn't like a feeling of, like, worry for the future. I was like, oh, I'll always be okay. But I was worried about if he would be okay. So my anxiety wasn't focused on me. Like, and then, like, it took months and months to not be a two-person thing. How would you describe that? Because I'm so used to...
You're going independent.
Yeah.
You need to figure it out.
I've never been selfish before. Mm. So I didn't know how to only think of me.
Yeah.
impossible for me. The thought of me only thinking about me was like, how do I do that? I had no idea, because like my whole life, like I was in an 11-year relationship, so I'm so used to being a two-person thing.
Codependent.
Yeah. I actually read about what codependency is, but I'm not codependent. I think my partners probably were.
I suppose it's different for everyone. But I suppose what you're trying to say there is like, you're so used to coexisting with someone. Maybe that's the right word.
Yeah.
And like everything that you do is like, you consult the other person because you're a two. And then when that then isn't there, there's this whole capacity in your mind that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think as well, you know, we live in like a really weird time. So you know when you go on social media and you've got like all those people that have been single for so long and like they're like, ha, the reason I'm not in a relationship is because I'm scared about what if we don't break up. And people are like got this weird thing where like they're independent and they don't want to be with someone, and I'm like looking at them and I'm like, well, you look lonely and desperate and you're always on Tinder or like Hinged and you're always seeking validation from strangers, so clearly you something's missing and you're a little bit scared clearly. And you've got some issues that you probably don't really realize, and you're trying to put up this like, I don't know, persona that you're like happy and single, and then like 4 or 5 years has gone by knowing these people and they're still
doing this
happy and single, but actually really unhappy and lonely and insecure, you know. And from a biological standpoint, we are supposed to coexist with a partner. Like, I was having this conversation with you the other day, but like, no one can replace the intimacy that you have with an actual partner that's a committed partner. There is not a single person in the world that can go there except your partner, your proper partner. And it doesn't matter how close me and you are. Like I said to you, like the other day, like it's like a different bond altogether.
Completely different.
And so many people haven't experienced that. So they don't actually know how important it is. And from a biological place, I feel like that is what we're supposed to have.
Yeah.
But because...
So you're referring to like the fact that in history, like cavemen have always been in groups, and like no one has really ever coexisted.
Yeah.
Or existed like individually.
Yeah, or in groups. Or in like in
tribes.
Yeah, like you have to have like your familiarity, like the female the feeling of family.
Yeah.
Like you have to create that for yourself, and the world is becoming so much more close but also so separated as well. Like people don't understand like the actual value of like quality over quantity as much anymore, and so that's why people have so much anxiety and insecurity and like this need for like all validation, like I need every guy to like me, I need every girl to like me, instead of like just having those quality relationships. And like I get it, like sometimes you just want to be single and free, but
there's a place for that.
I think there's a place for that.
You'll always like the, you know, I get it. I've been that person too. And I think there's, as long as you're always being true to yourself, then cool, you know, like you do you. But then I think that so many people haven't got a clue how to be true to themselves.
That's
like people
the problem.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And I suppose like that this comes back to like that dark part of you that exists that like eats you up, and like you feel it inwards, and you know, you feel the emotion, and I suppose like the way to test would really be, can you honestly just like sit by yourself in a room with your eyes closed and be happy with your own thoughts, be comfortable, calm, does it feel safe in your body with the emotions that you have and the thoughts that you have? And could you do that for like, I don't know, an hour? Could you do it for 2 hours? And if the answer is no, and if, and
something's bothering you.
Like there's something there. You know, your emotions, and I suppose like the way that you carry yourself day to day, and like the interactions that you have, and where do your thoughts focus on the most? Do you focus on growth and like moving forward, or are you really focused on like substances and like nights out, and is that where your energy is? Like where do you feel like you focus, because that takes that's gonna say a lot as well.
And then you have those people that like work hard, play hard as well.
So
you have like some good
the balance
which is good, but then I guess, like, it comes down to, like, where your commitment's lying and...
For sure.
There's, like, heaps of things like that. So what is heartbreak, essentially, in your, like, words?
I suppose everyone... well, ultimately, I think that we can downplay heartbreak, but we feel it physically.
Yeah.
You know, your emotions show up physically. Like yeah. you said earlier, it's grief. You've yeah, lost it's grief. Someone. You're, like, mourning a part of your life that you yeah. had and now you don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And so that feeling that is created from having someone leave your life, or maybe you're the one that's leaving, is pain. Yeah. It's physical pain. It's like it's in your chest, you yeah. feel it in your back, you feel it in your stomach, you can't eat.
I actually got COVID during my heartbreak, so I had double pain.
Wow.
Yeah. I was so sick because I was already sick.
Yeah,
from heartbreak. Yeah. And it's so interesting because, like, even though you make the decision, like, it doesn't even, like, and I think this is also the thing, like, I feel like a lot of people, like, if they went through heartbreak would take it as, like, rejection or, like, whatever. It's not really that at all. Like, sometimes there's just, like, you know, there's just, like, I feel like it happens with longer term relationships, just in my experience. We'll talk about our experiences in a minute. But yeah, like, I feel like sometimes there's just certain things that you just can't really, like, proceed with in the future. You know, that, you know, it just could be, like, irreconcilable differences, basically. Yeah. And that's just something that, you know, you're either going to grow together or grow apart sometimes, I feel. And it doesn't mean that you don't have love for that person, like, yeah. as a family or a friend. And that's the sad thing about it. But, like, if... Yeah. But the pain from those experiences where you really care about the person, I feel like is... It's normal, but it's next level. Like, do you have any, like, tips for people on anxiety relief during this sort of thing, or?
Specifically during heartbreak. Look, like, I think there is no one size fits all with this. There really isn't. What can very often happen when we feel anxiety or we feel this emotion in our bodies, that is... the way I would describe it is, like, you want to escape. You can't sit in your body. It feels so uncomfortable that you need to be out. And your mind might start to race, and, you know, you might be constantly checking his page or her page, and, like, you know, see, like, there's all of these different things that will trigger that emotion to be even more intense. So I think my biggest tip would be that there's no perfect way to handle it, but take control of what you are in control of. So you already have this feeling and you already have these thoughts, and, you know, that's going to take time to heal. But don't keep going on his Instagram. Don't keep speaking with his friends. Don't keep, like I was saying to you earlier.
Yeah. You, like, shouldn't get obsessive.
Yeah. Energetically detached.
Yeah, energetically. Everywhere. Yeah, you have to.
Social media.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to talk about that. Like, one of the best things to do, and... probably the hardest thing, is no contact. Like, I feel like you have to go no contact, like, full no contact, like, not liking, block for as long as you guys need to deal with your own healing process, and to make sure that, yeah, you can both move on. Like, start, you know,
for sure.
You really need to do that. You need to, out of sight, out of mind, for sure.
We actually have different systems in our brain, and one of them would be responsible for, like, rational thinking, clear thinking, operating from your values. And then the other one is basically your limbic system, which is responsible for emotion. And the problem is, the way that the brain filters information is that it takes it through the limbic system first. And it's almost like, once the limbic system is cleared and it said, yeah, like, all good, this isn't relevant to us, it then moves into the cortex, which is rational, clear thinking, remaining, you know, operating from your values. So if you are emotional, your cortex, which is where you can think straight, basically shuts down. So if you think about when you're emotional, you can't actually access your rational, like, from a neurological point of view, you cannot actually access your rational thinking.
That makes sense. But, like,
I'll give you an example, because everyone's
so emotional.
everyone's been through this.
Now that I'm thinking about myself in situations, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and then this is why in hindsight you're like, why the fuck did I do that?
No, like, I'm like, I love that I did that. Unless I, like,
not... Who was that that you blame it on your star sign?
Yeah. I'm like, well, I'm a Leo, sorry about that.
That was the Leo fire.
Yeah.
So we've all been in, like, arguments, right? And we're so sure that we're right. And the other person's like, no, this is right. This is right. And then you realise that you're wrong. And
you're like, oh, that's a good one.
And then you're like, oh, shit, yeah. And it could be over something so stupid. Yeah. Like, I don't know anything. But we've had that moment where we've been so, this is so right. And then all of a sudden, no, it's not right anymore.
You know what? You're an arguer, though. Remember we were saying this on the walk the other day, that I just can't win with you. I just run away. I'm such a runner. Like, so basically, I'll never quit on something. Mm. But I have noticed, like, I've become more self-aware of, like, things I do. So somebody, like, confronts me about something or puts me in a situation where they're, like, pressuring me to answer questions I don't want to answer, or just, like, takes away my peace, even for 5 minutes, I'll just drop the ball and leave. Or, like, I'll just go, oh, I can't deal with this. It'll go through my mind, like, is this making, like, okay, how can I return to my peaceful state? And well, then I'll take the actions appropriately. I just don't like conflict unless I have to go through, like, unless it's, like, literally with, like, my closest friends, family, or partner. If it has anything to do with anything that's not super relevant in my life, and it starts bringing me drama, or like it's just like I just have this response to things where I'll just like leave.
Yeah,
I just find me doing that all the time.
But so this is the thing, because some, if you googled that, it would tell you that you're an avoidant.
Not though.
But you're not. So like this is
where I'm definitely not. Attachment styles. Let's talk about this.
Because what I think you're really saying there is that you're really good at managing your energy. And if someone comes to you with an issue, you decide, is this something that I want to give my energy to? No, it's not. These people, it's not important to me, whatever. And then you move on. But, you know, if you had the same energy with, like, for example, your partner, and as soon as they have an issue, you're like,
bye.
Not taking my energy, then you're leaving. You're like, I don't want to talk about this, whatever. Which people do. Like, people really struggle to have those difficult conversations.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah, so I think that's a really great trait to have. It shows that you're not going to waste time, like waste your energy investing it into these things that don't matter.
Yeah, I think like until somebody is a committed part of your life, like you should never, like, I mean, it doesn't devalue them as people, but it's just like that is exactly what I do. Like I put all my energy into the people that are in front of me.
Yeah,
you know, like you're a part of my life, like you're getting all of my attention. Mm. And yeah, if conflict arises, then I'll, you know, I'll do whatever I have to do. And I've got no problem with that because, you know, I've been in long-term relationships forever. So I understand that how to, you know, compromise. And I know exactly what's required in a relationship. And I would say that, like, I've always had a stable attachment.
Yeah.
My whole life.
So just on that then, because a lot of people don't know how to... So when we talk about attachment styles, I'm sure everyone, your listeners, will know this.
Yeah, hopefully.
But attachment styles is essentially the way that you respond and react in a relationship.
Yeah, and it's also comes from your childhood, right?
For sure. So that was going to be my question. So if you feel that you've always been secure...
Yeah.
Was there, did you have like secure relationships modeled to you as a child?
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking you this is because if for like for the listeners, if you are someone who finds it really difficult to kind of be secure in a relationship, or you're anxious, or you are quite avoidant, you avoid conflict, and maybe you feel really triggered often.
Yeah.
The link definitely, it's a very high chance that the link is back in your childhood.
Yeah.
Asking questions like, did I have like, healthy relationships models me, how did my parents show me love, did I see conflict resolution, did I see like effective ways of solving conflict, or was the arguments happening behind the door, like what did you see and what did you observe, and like how is that showing up in your relationships today? But also like, did you ever like actually see really deep meaningful connections where both parties had
that have lasted,
or just like so many? And I think, you know, our parents' generation, and the challenges and the issues that they had in the world back then, and, you know, like, let's say, like, 30, 35 years ago, were our parents in a place to be working on building a deep relationship and building a really deep connection? Or was it more survival mode? Because, or was it more, like, surface level? Because if you haven't been shown how to build deep connections, how would you possibly know? True. And then, especially if we're not talking about emotions and we're shoving emotions under the carpet, which so many of our parents did.
We're scared to be close to people. Like, so many people are really scared to be.
And you just don't know how to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, yeah, and you can get that vibe from a lot of people. Like, it's, and that's the thing as well, like, you're not going to have chemistry or a connection with everyone. It doesn't necessarily mean there's anything wrong with you or your attachment style as well. Because obviously I'm a person that's been in, you know, two long terms and I have quite a secure attachment. But 99.9% of people that I meet, I do not have any. I know when I know. Okay, like, so I have a fair idea of when I've got a good connection or it's might go somewhere or... Yeah. There's something about that person. There's always like three or four different categories I put people in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I see how it goes from there over like a few months. And I would say that, yeah, like for a lot of people, they probably just don't know what they're looking for. You know, especially if you've never been in a relationship. Like, how are you supposed to know though? If you're like in your mid-20s and you've actually never had like a proper relationship that wasn't just about how that person looked. How are you meant to know? And then you've also come from a background that, you know, or, you know, like you said, an upbringing that's
you've never been taught.
How would you go about that then? Because everyone's going to want like a, you know, a family, not a family, but a proper relationship at some point. Like,
So this goes, is what I'm about to say goes across all areas of life. Because I think some people don't know what to do in their career. They don't know what they want in a relationship. Like, I don't know. It's like this gap of like knowledge or this gap of information. Like So this goes for absolutely every issue. The more you stay focused on the problem, which is, I don't know, I don't have what I want, but I don't know what I want. So the problem is, I don't know, right? The more you stay focused on that, the more you're focused on the problem. So if you can switch your perspective to always looking for a solution. So I don't know what I want, but I know what I have right now isn't, it's not fulfilling. I know there's a gap. So the only way that you can ever know is to move forward, to try, right?
That's right.
And to get more clear. And the most amazing thing about your subconscious mind or your thoughts and your belief systems and all of these patterns that you have and that you operate from is that you can find out more about them by asking questions. You don't need a therapist or coach to do that. So like simple questions like, okay, if I could have my dream relationship, what would it look like? And then write yourself a paragraph. My dream relationship would look like my partner making me breakfast every morning. I would feel really safe. I would feel really loved. We'd have two dogs. Like, what is it? Like, even just start really basic with that. Then you can go more onto like, how would that feel? What are the qualities in that person?
Yeah.
You know, and you can kind of tackle it that way. And honestly, this is what I did.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, and is that how you got with...
bleep.
Is that was that your ideal? And then you actually got it?
I genuinely had like a list. So
I have a list.
Yeah. And I think
I think you have to have a list. If you don't have a list, like... How do you know? What questions do you ask?
Yeah.
Like, you need to be, like, narrowing. Because, like, the reality is, right, for most girls, for a lot of girls, it's different for guys, I feel. I don't know. It depends. Yeah. Maybe generation.
Are you going to say, like, pick me?
We have a lot of options. So what you're doing every time is, like, you're narrowing things down as fast as you can.
People aren't... You have options, right? You're like, my DMs are overflowing.
And I'm still not satisfied.
So you have the options, but like there's my clients, I hear this on a daily, they're looking and they go on dates and on Tinder and they're talking like, and there's nothing. Like, they can't find what they're looking for.
Yeah, but they have options still. No. I can't, like, this is the same, it's the same problem though. It doesn't matter how many guys hit me up. Yeah, but that's their perspective then. They need to change their perspective because I also, like, you've got to just think about this. Like, if I go on my TikTok comments, right, like, for example, are they options? No, probably not. No. So every guy that hits me up in my DMs is, like, a TikTok comment, basically, in my eyes.
Yeah.
So unless there is some sort of mutual something, it's nothing to me.
I get that.
You know? And so...
You want it?
I wouldn't be dating them all. Like, that's what I mean to say. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, I can't find what I'm looking for because how do you go through, like, thousands of people?
Yeah, you can't.
Do you, like, there's no way.
I get that. I think the place, definitely get clear on the characteristics. And so you can do this in two ways. Write the paragraph, like, what is my dream relationship? Mm-hmm. And by the way, what you want exists. Like, I can't stress that enough.
It so does. Yeah.
And I think people, women especially, don't get this, right? They think that what I want is not out there. Like, it doesn't exist. It's one in a million and all the good men are taken. Like, these...
Or
these
your ex, if you still want your ex back. Yeah. For example, like... There's a lot of people out there that are probably listening right now that really want their ex back or they've regret their decision. Like, there's definitely moments of doubt that you're going to have after you've left. You're like, oh my God, like, you're going to look at all the good things and all the bad things and you're going to get nostalgia. Yeah. Like, it's just the way it is. And it's like, so this is a good idea. Mm. I feel like this is one of the most important things. You've got to be realistic. So once you get to the point where you get past the emotional stuff that, like, triggers you to think about this being a mistake or, you know, that you'll never find what you're really wanting, but you don't know what it is because you can't logically think about those things yet. You need to let yourself, I guess, like, let the emotion die down until you can make that list for people that are, like, in heartbreak right now. There's no way, because, like, I remember after my relationship, the thought, every guy that messaged me, like, I just, like, it wasn't like I was repulsed by them, but I would, like, be out and, like, guys would be hitting on me. And, like, guys that I now find attractive, like, great guys. Yeah. Like, and I honestly would, like, stand at the bar with them and just think,
yeah,
you're not my ex. Like, not like you're not my ex, but, like, you're just not there for me.
They're
like, not, you're not in that space for me, you know? So it's, like, it took me a while to, like, at least a month
for me to
be able to finally, like, I think, like... Yeah, it was like a month before I could actually, like, start talking to guys again. And
so what did you do? Like, how did you go from being in that place that where I literally pulled you out of the crowd?
Like, when, like, I went from, like, just paralyzed to being...
to being okay. Like, I know it's, like, it's up and it's down and time... is a huge healer, but...
Yeah, grief comes in waves. So you're going to go through, like, 5 stages of grief.
Mm.
And... it is all about understanding that I didn't put a time frame on it at all. I kind of just, like, let my emotions... I sat in my trauma, basically. So I sat in my trauma. I didn't band-aid at all. I think, like, I spent a lot of time, like, learning about, like, what I was actually dealing with. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like sometimes people just, like, feel... like they're never going to get out of the situation and they look for things outside of themselves.
For sure.
They think, like, something's wrong with them or, like, they're never going to be okay again. And it actually is just the same thing that happens to, like, when you actually go through grief. It happens in the same, maybe not in the same order, but it happens to everyone the same. When you realize this is just a normal human reaction to your situation, you then allow yourself a little bit of leeway to go, okay, how I'm feeling, everybody goes through this.
For sure.
And that's what humanizes you. And it makes you, it actually grounds you. Like, there's a lot of things about heartbreak that actually gave me like this incredible ability to absorb information, because my brain was so fixed. Like, I was so, it was really weird. Like, I was just able to read a lot of books. And so I feel like education pretty much was the thing that got me out of it. I didn't ask I wasn't looking at, like, guys' attention or even really, like, I wanted the opposite of that.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the position where I was, like, wanting to be attractive. So I wasn't even going out of my way to look better. Like, you know how some people will, like, go and get their hair done and, like, whatever. Yeah. I was like, fuck, I want guys to be unattracted to me just whilst just I go through this. Like, just leave me alone. Like, I really need to, like, understand this. And I don't judge anyone for never going through their trauma, but I think if you seriously want to, like, my end goal was to be able to focus on the next person.
Mm.
And in order for me to do that, I needed to be fully healed from this.
Yeah.
Even though it was my decision, and I think that is probably, those are the hardest things to do in life. And so, yeah, I feel like education was the one thing that got me to understand it, like the five stages of grief, which is like, I think it was, so you go into like denial.
Mm.
Fuck, I can't remember them now, but I used to know them.
All the way from denial to, like, acceptance.
All the way from denial to acceptance. Like, you just go through, there's, like, even, I think, like, the final stage is, like, the fourth stage is, like, a depression.
Mm.
I didn't really feel like a depression. I felt more like, but I did have, like, a really low energy. Mm. I knew I was vibrating low.
Mm.
I was like, I'm just not me. Like, I'm just not me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really shake it for a while. And so, yeah, it was just, like, a really traumatic time. So, like, I feel like a lot of people are going to relate to that. Mm. And I think you need to find a healthy coping mechanism.
Yeah, I agree.
The most important thing is to try not to get validation from other people, too. Like, or outlets like drugs, alcohol, like, sedating yourself as much as you want to. Like, I feel like try and make your, even, like, it's going to be hard to work out for a lot of people. They're going to be drained, you know, emotionally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, education's really good. Or, like, writing blogs or essays or whatever it is that you're going through, like, stuff like that.
Yeah. You just got to give your brain something to focus on. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because
even if it's the breakup.
Yeah. So
to learn about it.
For sure. Yeah. Your subconscious mind, the way that I would kind of see it, so your subconscious mind is responsible for 90 to 95% of your thoughts.
Yeah.
Which means that 90 to 95% of the way that you operate, because your behavior comes from your thoughts, is always coming from this subconscious place.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to, so let's say that so you go through a breakup. So if 90 to 95% of what you're doing today is around everything that's happening with you today, and then you have a breakup, then tomorrow, your subconscious mind is going to, the information in there is going to be completely disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a really amazing analogy where it's like, if you imagine like a wild monkey in a jungle, it's just going to run around being a monkey, like, you know, doing random things, just doing like random monkey things with no specific clear direction or drive, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And that's exactly how your mind works. So when it's got any type of disruption, it's just going to keep bringing, is this relevant? Is this relevant? Is this relevant? And none of it might be relevant, but if you don't know how to manage your thoughts, you might be attaching to all of it. Like, oh my God, yeah, what if I am single forever? And oh my God, what if I never will find my forever person? And, you know, all of these random thoughts that your mind is just bringing forward for you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you give your brain a really clear instruction, really clear direction, that's where it can focus.
Yeah,
just
true.
Like the wild monkey in a jungle, you can train it to go and do a specific task.
Yeah.
And that focus is really what's going to help you focus on the solution, move forward, instead of staying stuck.
Yeah, you need to have an aim. You need to have an aim. And in that process, like, like, for me personally, like, I always, like, I don't like confrontation, as we know. But if I see a long-term benefit to the confrontation, then I'm going to confront myself. I'm going to confront people that are important, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If it's a requirement and it's necessary and I have a reason to do that, then I'm going to take the harder option now. Because I knew that if I did this, even though, like, there was so many times when I was like, fuck, like, am I going to be scarred for life? Because, like, it's a new thing for a lot of people when they go through this, or, like, especially as well, like, some people have been hurt in their childhood and then hurt again in a relationship. And then, you know, it's really natural then to second guess new people that come into your life, or like, worry,
for
or
sure.
just find, like, I feel like a lot of people, like, they get scared to have that repeated because it scars them so badly,
which is where the attachment styles come in,
and that's where
you become
but you don't always become those things. I don't think in your childhood, I think your own adult relationships can make you, if you don't know how to manage afterwards properly. So there was, if I had done this wrong, my attachment style would not be secure moving forward, so that means that my next relationship would be an issue. And so in order for me to remain secure, I had to actually like, I had to be aware that, like, you're emotionally unavailable. Mm. The guys that you talk to, if you're going to talk to any, you need to know they're not going to be the one.
Mm.
You know, because you're going to fuck that up. Like, yeah. Because you're so unemotionally available and, you know, you're not ready to commit to someone new. You're just in the process of where you can talk, you can have fun.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, you can be... You're better off talking to people that, like... They know you're not the one and you know they're...
Being clear.
And that's clear.
Yeah.
You know?
And being honest with yourself as well, because I think so that's where so many people go wrong too. Like, if you don't want... if like, what do you want? Before you introduce yourself and anybody else's life...
Yeah, true.
Like, have respect for them and say, like, you know what you... Like, are you ready for a relationship? Do you just want someone to hang out with? Do you just want to hang out with this person, like, a few times? Like, you know, be clear about what you want. And so then you can then communicate that to everyone else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why so, especially men, like, they don't know what they want. They don't ask themselves these questions. So then they will start seeing someone. This has happened to me, like, numerous times.
Tell us all about it, babes. We'll go into our dating stories.
So I suppose, like, the one that really sticks out... So where are we now? 2022 is 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. The really great year of 2020.
I can't remember.
COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Lockdown everywhere.
Yeah.
No one's got great memories of 2020, I don't think.
No. Fuck 2020.
So yeah, I was dating this guy. We met on Hinge. I think he was like the first Hinge date that I went on, but... Everything in Sydney we were in lockdown, or everything had started to close.
Right.
And we just got a bottle of wine and went and watched the sunset. And we really got on, and like, I was thinking, like, oh my God, like, we got on really well. I'm shocked. I wasn't really expecting this. And anyway, so we started to see each other after that. And with it being in lockdown, you know, we're really limited to what we could do. So we spent a lot of time at each other's houses. And honestly, like, this probably went on for about 4 months. Seeing each other, like, 3 or 4 times a week.
Right.
Cooking dinner, like, he would call me.
Really?
Like, it was literally, we went from, like...
0 to 100.
It not necessarily that quick, but it went from, like, we were getting to know each other. And we just really loved spending time with each other. And it was really, really good. Like, we had a really good... connection.
Did you have chemistry?
Yeah, like, I was like, would literally think that he was gonna have like a really big role in my life. That was like where I was.
Fuck.
But I think if you met him you saw us together, you probably would have thought the same too.
Was he hot?
Looking back, I'm like,
No. It doesn't matter. Chemistry is like a thing you can't.
Yeah.
It's not really, like, always physical.
And he had, like, there were so many, like, different things about him that I was really attracted to. And so then we, out of the blue one night, it was like a Sunday night.
Yeah.
He was messaging me all day, and then I tried to call him and he didn't answer. And he went, and then he called me back and he was like, hey, I just need to speak with you about something. And he basically was just like, I'm just letting you know, like, I actually don't want a girlfriend. And I was like, you have not acted that way. Like, what you're saying is... And he was like, but, like, I'm still happy to, like, continue doing this.
So he wanted the benefits of having a girlfriend without the commitment or the label.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
so he wanted all the good side.
At that point, I was like, you've literally lied to yourself for the past 4 months.
What's wrong? Like, how old is he?
He was older than me. I think he was like 31 at the time. So.
We'll see him at 41. He'll still be single.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, it was just strange, odd behavior. And I was thinking, had you have said that in the beginning, that you wasn't looking for something, this would have never developed. Cause I would have been like, well, no, cause I am clear on what I want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
how did that feel? Were you like heartbroken?
Yeah. That was the point where I was like, this is why it's so important to actually know what you want.
You have to ask the guys as well. And you have to tell them. Like, I think this is, like, one of the things girls are so scared of, which I'm never going to be scared of. But, like, I mean, aside from when I'm drunk and I'm, like, all up, yeah. I'll just say what like, I'll be a bit over the top sometimes. But let's just say it's, like, fair sober. And, like, you know, let's just say I'm... And that's not often, so it's fine. I can get away with a few times here and there. It's what makes me me. But I think this is the thing that girls are so scared of. So they'll meet someone and they'll like them. There'll be chemistry, etc. But they're scared to say things like, this is my boundary. This is what I want. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. These are my goals. Mm. If you don't like it, you cannot be a scared, like, you can't be scared to say exactly what you want long term, because you, like, at the end of the day, you're better off scaring away the wrong guy so you can get closer.
You won't be able to the, right guy. The right guy.
You can't, because and this is the thing, like, this is the thing. People get so heartbroken, but, like, you kind of, like, you, if you're playing a, like, a guessing game and you're hoping and you're praying, and the guy has no idea where he stands or where you stand, and he's just going in, like, because guys are so what's the word, like, visual, is that it? Like, they're always going to look at, like, how attractive you are, and, like, that's just exactly what they're like, and we're more emotional, so when we connect to someone, we are going to have we're going to have a different approach, and that's not every girl, and it's not going to be at every time in our life, but most times, if we really like someone, we are going to, like, want to proceed with something beyond casual, right? Yeah. Like, unless you've got attachment trauma to some degree.
Yeah.
But you need to say all of these things. Mm-hmm. I always do it. I actually do not care if people think I'm crazy, because I know a lot of girls don't do it. And I know a lot of girls are, like, scared to do it because they're like, fuck, what if he's going to run away and give another girl attention? I'm like, you should.
Yeah.
Because that girl's going to meet your needs. For example, like, I've never had a guy disrespect me or ask me for casual sex ever. Mm. Not in my whole life, not once. But at the same time, I'll always tell them that that's not me, you know, because, like, I don't judge anyone for it, but it's just not something I do. Like, I just don't do it. So if I even like a guy and I think, oh, you're, like, super attractive or whatever, I don't really care if I lose him to another girl, because I think it's so important for him to get what he wants.
Yeah.
And that girl, and somebody that can meet that need. If you don't, and you should never meet a need for somebody as well.
No.
Just because you like them.
Yeah.
If you're not actually happy doing that, and it doesn't make you feel happy about yourself, like, you should never like someone enough to break your own boundaries.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a losing game. And this is why people don't get in good relationships, or they get into situations where they're like, oh, how do you end up, like, in a committed relationship? It's like one of my number one questions. And it's like, the guy is going to tell you how he feels early on. Like, he'll tell you. He'll call you. He'll be checking in on you. There's difference that you know. And you know when a guy is unsure. And you know when a guy is just, like, never going to be your boyfriend.
Yeah. You know? That's the thing. Like, that you, what you just said there is actually so important, because when you communicate your boundaries and you put that...
It's just 60 minutes for our maximum recording time, so we've got 15 minutes left of the show.
Okay, I'll make this quick. So when you communicate, and you, in that process, not only are you being honest with yourself and you're honoring what you feel, but you're also setting yourself up to then hold down a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
So, like, my boyfriend, last year we were seeing each other for about 9 or 10 months, and then we had a break.
Yeah.
The break was never, like, intentional. It was like we ended.
You broke up, actually.
And then, and then we started to see each other, like 2 or 3 months ago again?
Yeah. And you're better than ever, eh?
Better than ever. But it's so funny, because towards the end last year, he said to me, I don't know if this is what I want. Like, I don't know if this is what I want.
Mm.
And he was so confused, and he was like, there was all of these different emotions, whatever. And my response to that, even though it was so fucking hard to do this, I was like, you're confused. I'm not confused. Like, I'm clear what I want. I'm certain what I want. I've decided what I want. Mm. And in that is not somebody who's not sure about me. So if you're not sure about me, my decision is made. this ends, right. You know?
Wow.
And so, like, even though he kind of came to me and was like, I don't know if this is what I want, I was the one that blocked him on everything. I was the one that was like, this ends now then. Like, I'm not going to be...
Yeah, you should never give anyone your energy that's, like, not sure on you. And yeah. I think that's one of the things as well. Like, you have to have self-respect when it comes to your relationships. Because, guys, like, at the end of the day, if you're going to be with this person for the long haul and you possibly have a kid with them at some point... Like, you need somebody that you can trust. Yeah. Like, you don't want somebody that's going to be, like, hitting up girls when...
Emotionally mature.
You know, and somebody that's, like, able to take care of you. Mm. Like, you don't want to have a guy... Like, you want to get rid of those guys.
Yeah.
That's, like, when I... Like, even when I go out, like, I always, like... I try and, like, not attract those types of guys because... Now that I'm in a place where I'm, like, way more healed, I can actually date people some more seriously. Mm. So I feel like there's a few guys... that I talk to still that I think are just there for the lols because they just make me laugh.
You gotta have fun with it though,
babe. Shall we talk about beep?
What are we gonna talk what should we call him?
James. No, we can't call him. Okay, we'll just call him James because I don't know if there's anyone. Yeah, there's probably one or two called James, but there won't be about
what
them.
If your name's James, this isn't about
it's not,
you.
It's not about you. It's definitely not you. Okay, but yeah, like, so for example, this guy, right? He's funny. Like, he is convinced
that you're in love with him. I think he thinks everyone.
You know, this is the thing. It's not just me. Yeah.
He thinks he's irresistible.
And that's what makes it so funny.
Which makes it, like, just hilarious.
Yeah. And so he actually pitched Nikki. No. Fuck, he's going to know who he is. No, he won't. Because let's just say a few guys pitched you.
Yeah, he won't know.
No. Okay. What did he say? Like, he said
he was, like, selling himself to me, for you. Like... This is what I do for work. This is what I do. Like, this is where I
want
I live.
A girlfriend.
Like, I'm ready to settle down. I'm ready for a girlfriend. Like, what? Like.
And I'm like, in the other side of the club. Like,
someone else. That's why he was pitching. He was like, do I have a chance? I was like, come on, tell me. Give me a pitch. I'll let you know.
He's got
and
no chance.
Like, the fact that you've even just actually given me a pitch tells me a lot.
I felt really, like, I couldn't, like, I just can't get over some situations.
Yeah, that was wild.
But, you know, like, a guy will know if I'm into it.
Yeah,
like, you
know straight away.
I'll make it clear.
This, just on that, though, this is what I was going to say before. So, a guy will know if you like him, you'll make it clear.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, if anyone's listening to this and you're on the receiving end of someone else and you're like, I'm confused, I don't know what they want.
Yeah.
That isn't your confusion. That's their confusion.
Yeah.
If you ask them the direct question and you don't get the direct answer that you want, don't let them project their confusion onto you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're then telling yourself you're confused. You're not. You're clear. You're certain. You know what you want. You've got a list of qualities and you've got a description.
And you're narrowing it down and trying to find
the
red flags, basically.
Clear and certain. They're confused. You're not. Like, and draw the line. Like, that's
it. Yeah, 100%. But so, also as well, like, you can like a lot about, you know, certain people. And then, like, you know, you might talk to other people like this guy, James. You know, because he just provides you with
entertainment,
just full-blown entertainment on the daily. And, like, you know, this guy, like, he just can't read between the lines. Like, it doesn't matter how much. It's not like I'm rude, but I, like, give him absolutely zero.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even kiss him. I was with somebody else.
He will be thinking that you're playing hard to get, though. Like, that's how.
And I don't play hard to get.
The mind of an egotistical.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing as well. Like, some guys are like, oh, you're so hot and cold to me. Like, whatever. And I'm like, no, I just don't like you that much. Like, you know, but I'm not going to say that. Because if I did like them a lot, like, I would put
they would know. Like, that's that.
I'll be catching flights for you. I'll be staying with you. Like, I mean, I will do, you will know. We'll be together. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll be on the phone to each other.
So to summarize, if someone likes you, you will know.
Like, they like you, you will absolutely know. And And then you also can't fool yourself, guys. Like, no. I know guys are going to be listening to this, but, like, this guy, and there's a few others as well, they...
It's going to be guys, like, making notes, like, this is what she likes. She likes clear. She likes certain.
Clear communication. Yeah, you've got to be direct with me. And also as well, like, you have to tell me. Mm. Like, I'm, like, somebody that... When you have, like, people that normally will tell you, and then you've got somebody that won't tell you, or that... Like, they will tell you a little bit, then they won't. Like, your attention's going to go on the people that are more direct, because you can then proceed.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is the point of waiting around for somebody, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, like you said, this guy probably thinks I'm playing hard to get.
Yeah.
When really we're, like, reading his stories and, like...
Oh, my God, yeah.
And laughing. We're just, like, laughing, like, because he is so oblivious.
Oblivious. And, like, I'm sorry, but... You know when you upload a photo to Instagram and you've got, like, 10 maximum on a carousel?
Babe, it's going to be so obvious. Babe, I can't post this.
Would he really listen to 52 minutes?
No, no, no. I talked to lots of
it. Would he really listen to 52 minutes of a podcast?
You never know,
talking
babe.
About breakups.
No, babe, he'll be listening to his own story.
He's
replaying his own story.
You,
no.
Like, and us talking.
But
about
he might want to score brownie points.
No. Okay. And even if he does, like, he would, I don't even, he'll be like, this isn't about me.
There's no way it's about
me. There's no way. This is about me.
No, that must be some loser.
Forget I said anything about the carousel.
Or the editing. Okay. Oh, just everything. And, like, I just think as well, like, the one of the most, like, I think that the thing is as well, you before you do start dating, like, on the whole heartbreak thing, you should never rebound. I think that is probably one of the most selfish things you could ever do, like, on a serious note, even if it is with somebody that, like, James. Don't take advantage of people like that. Obviously, like, he is somebody that, honestly, like, there's you're going to come across all different types of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to be, like, in a... Just because you're not with someone as a boyfriend, don't use somebody that's, like, obsessed with you or an easy target or, like, really wants you to just serve you as company. That's one thing I'd never do to somebody, because, like, if they catch feelings for me and I know I'm not going to catch feelings for them, I'm going to draw the line at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
You really want to respect that, like, people could catch feelings for you. And I'm pretty sure, like, James would recover because he loves himself so much. But, you know, at the same time, you don't know. You don't want to make any assumptions, because sometimes, like, everyone is human as well, and you don't want to be taking advantage of people. I think that's one of the one of the number one things, especially if there's any guys listening.
Yeah.
Don't be rebounding. Don't mess with people's emotions.
Like,
you want to
heal yourself. And then put yourself back out there, but, like, be respectful of other people
too. Don't let people catch feelings for you if you're not in the position to proceed with them,
unless you're James, where everyone just catches feelings.
Fuck, he just caught feelings from the moment he locked eyes with me. I was like, oh my god, please no. I was like gonna slip the girls around us like money just to get with him. They go away, can you go hit on him? But yeah, you definitely want to have your fun, but keep it, make sure that you're in a position before you start talking to people properly, seriously.
So to summarize, what would your biggest tip be for someone who is going in heartbreak right now?
I think, like, the biggest thing is to not buy in to how you feel if you're in the peak of heartbreak, and not give in and not worry so much about, like, all the changes and things like that. You'll actually be surprised, and I know it's so cheesy, but I honestly do think that all of these things are destined. You do get the most growth out of heartbreak, like, in the process of heartbreak. It doesn't feel like it's like, why is this happening, is what's all that's why do I feel like this all the time for so long? But there is always a silver lining, and that's the thing you are about to have. And this is the thing as well, you've got to put steps in place, I do feel. But you've got to work towards that silver lining. You can't just hope for it. Like everything, you can't hope for the best relationship. You've got to make things clear. But that is the turning point. It is like, there's nothing more motivating than a big, bad situation. Yeah, and it's only up from here.
Yeah.
Once you start getting up, you're going to get up, and it's going to be better than ever. And I think you will find... You'll definitely, there's someone for everyone.
Amen.
You just gotta have an open heart. Don't let your heart close as well. I don't think you should do that.
Yeah.
I think if you do find the right person and it's like a little bit soon as well, be open. What about you?
I would like talk to the anxiety piece here a little bit. So we always feel that like when we're anxious, the answer is outside of us. Like mm-hmm. I said, drugs, shopping, sex, whatever. Mm. But actually, you have your own inbuilt therapist within you. And if you ask questions, you're going to get answers.
So yeah.
If you're sat by yourself on a Saturday night and you're feeling lonely and you wish someone was with you, like, that's an opportunity for you to get to know yourself more. Like, what part of you can you explore now? Like, asking questions. There's like a whole list of questions on my Instagram, actually, that you like journaling questions for breakups.
Okay, we'll leave the link
somewhere. Maybe scroll a little bit. But yeah, it's an opportunity to explore and to get to know yourself more. And that is a gift, ultimately. It is.
You don't do that when you're in a long-term relationship. Like, it actually, like, when I look at it now, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'd just be like the exact same. Yeah. If, like, probably not the exact same, but there'd be so many elements that I never, like, thought about.
Yeah.
That I do think about. And also, you learn so much. I would learn about how you can be a better partner.
Mm.
And actually hold a mirror up to yourself as well.
Mm.
That's probably another thing. So that when you move into another relationship, you know your toxic traits and you know your strong traits. And try and work on them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring them forward with you.
Yeah.
It's a good time to self-reflect.
Love that.
Be a bit critical, be a bit caring.
But also have fun.
But then have fun. I've played hard. I'm still playing.
Be serious, but have fun.
Yeah, be serious, but have fun. When you're serious. I think that's it for today.
Woo!
That was a good little chat.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we will see you all next week. And yeah, I'll leave Nikki's links below so you guys can check out her. Do you want to drop your Instagram, like, let them know where they can find you?
Yeah, so on website. Instagram, Nikki officially spelled N-I-K-K-I, not like Minaj. And Mind Health School and everything else, so like Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, hit me up.
Yeah, so if you guys are struggling at the moment, you can hit her up. I'll leave all the links below to reach out to her. Do you have any, do you have any, like, an email that I can leave as well?
Yeah, here? Just my name, Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, at mindhealthscore.com.
Is that the best point of contact for initial? Okay, perfect. All right, so that'll be there as well.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, guys.